Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Avka le'ofer nafshi. David HaMelech says that my soul cleaves or clings to the dust. Chayeni kidvarecha, you should sustain me in accordance with your word. That does not sound like very good news. It sounds very desperate. David HaMelech is like really, he's on the ground. He's cleaving to the dust, and he's begging. He says, "Please, Ribbono Shel Olam, chayeni, give me life as per your word." So let's first talk about davka la'afar nafshi. What is the meaning of davka la'afar nafshi? My soul cleaves to the ground. So the Ibn Ezra says that it's not my soul; it's me. Me nafshi is k'mayatzmi. I'm on the ground. I'm laying on the ground. He says ki'ilu humeis. David HaMelech feels as if he's just about dead. And because he's in the ground, he's just about dead, that's why he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayeni, that God should give him life. The Radak tells us that this references a particular event in David HaMelech's life. We know that King David had many difficult days and many difficult challenges. But probably the most painful challenge of all was when he had to fight his own son. He had a son named Avshalom. And Avshalom led a rebellion against David. And Avshalom was ready to kill his own father. So the Radak says, it's not that David HaMelech is literally on the ground. It's figurative. He says when he was running from Avshalom, running for his life, being pursued by his own son, it was ki'ilu nafshi davka la'afar. It's as if I'm cleaving to the dust. That's how low David HaMelech felt at that time. And therefore, chayeni kidvarecha. The Radak says that we have promises that were made by Nosson HaNavi, which are found, for the most part, in the book of Shmuel, and Shmuel Beis, in the second book, in the seventh chapter. There you have, from verse 18 and onward, there's a dialogue between David HaMelech and Nosson HaNavi, and promises that things will be good for David HaMelech, not only in his own life, but also futuristically, for the house of David. So David HaMelech says, chayeni kidvarecha, I'm as low as it gets, and chayeni, what's kidvarecha? What's like your words? So Ibn Ezra says, dvarecha are, Hashem says, ani omis ba'achaya. Life and death is in my hands. I could kill, I could bring back to life. So David HaMelech says, okay, I give up. Omis, I know you can kill. I'm in the ground already. So please, like your words that says, va'achaya, bring me back to life. So give me life. Ibn Ezra says it's not just a general concept. Radak says not a general concept that you can give life, but specifically you promised me, you promised David HaMelech, you promised me a future, that things are going to be good. Now the Medrash Tilim tells us something very interesting. That this pasuk of Dovker La'ofa Nafshi, that my soul cleaves to the ground, should not be understood in isolation of other psukim. This, in order to properly appreciate the meaning of what David HaMelech is saying here, one has to see the broader panorama of Tehillim and Tanakh in general. So, for example, we have words from Yeshayahu, in which Yeshayahu echoes this very same sentiment. He says that he is dried out, but he says, nonetheless, Hashem's word gives life. He says that the words of Hashem enable a person to come back to life. And here the Medrash tells us something incredible. That this notion, this idea of davka la'afar nafshi, and then chayeni kedvarecha, leads us back into the first prophecy of Yaakov Avinu. Father Jacob's a big boy. He's already in advanced age, what most people would be preparing for retirement, or even past retirement, and Yaakov is just going to find his shidduch at the time. And he leaves Eretz Yisrael, but not after spending 14 years first studying Torah day and night, and then on the way he realizes he didn't stop in Har Moriah, and Har Moriah comes to greet him, and suddenly night comes upon him, and he feels he needs protection, he's tired, he's cold, he's hungry, he doesn't know what tomorrow's going to bring, and Yaakov places stones around his head. He lays down to sleep. And then a wonderful thing happens. He has a great prophecy. And the prophecy climaxes with the words, V'hoya zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz, your progeny, your seed, will be like the dust of the earth. Ufaratzta, you will burst forth with tremendous force, yama v'kedma tzafeinu v'negba, to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. So the Medrash Tilim says that these words of David HaMelech, Davke lo ofer nafshi, that my soul cleaves or clings to the ground, I'm down in the dust, that this takes us back to the prophecy of Yaakov Avinu, v'hoya zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz, that your seed will be ka'afar ha'aretz. But when we are ka'afar ha'aretz, so just like, what does it mean ka'afar ha'aretz? The Medrash Tilim says, Keshem Shafar Haaretz Medusha Lakel, everybody steps on the earth, you feel like everybody's stepping on you. Kach Yil Benechem Medushim Lakel, everybody will step on the Jewish people. Sounds familiar? People get killed in France, everybody is putting French flags on the Facebook. People get killed in Israel, what else is new? Nobody even reacts, nobody cares, we feel we're stepped on. Uma afar ha'aretz, says the Medrash, mechalakli matchis v'miskayim, even if you put even metal in the ground, eventually the metal will disintegrate. The earth has its way of taking everything apart. Everything becomes decomposed in the ground, with the exception of stone. And yet, the earth is still there. So too, kach banecha mechilin kol umas ha'ilam. Being like dust is not a bad thing. Being like soil is, we have staying power. You may walk all over us, but in the end, long after you disintegrate, we'll still be here. That's also the story of the Jewish people. Empires have risen, came and gone, we're still here. Everybody stepped all over us, but we have outlived them all. We are kayamim le'ilam. And then the Medrash Tilim says, that ufaratzta, so after the virtue of being kafar ha'aretz, after reaching this level of everybody stepping on you, but nonetheless, we outlive. Then comes the blessing of Ufaratzta Yama Vakedma. He says, this is the what Yeshayahu Anavi said. Hisnari mi ofer kumi, that you shake off the dust and you come back home to Yerushalayim. The Medrash Tilim connects us to the words of Bnei Korach, which are found in Tehillim in the 44th chapter, the 25th and 26th chapter, that it says over there, Shachar la'ofer nafshenu, that our souls have become low, down to the very soil, down to the earth, dov kalaritz betneinu, our bellies are hugging the ground, and what happens after? Miyad, kuma zrasalanu. And from there, immediately, we experience Hashem's help. So, when you start to learn the chapter of Tilim, without the Medrash, just the pshat, it's a matter of fact thing. David HaMelech says, I'm almost dead. I'm in the ground. I can't get much lower. Avshalom, I'm running for my own son. Please, God, if not now, when? When are you going to help me? Chayeni kedvarecha. I get it. Amos, I know you can kill me. Could you please bring it back to life? I'm just about finished. But the Medrash is telling us something much more powerful. It's not that David HaMelech is on the ground. That because he's on the ground, now he's asking to be brought to life. David HaMelech is saying, I am on the ground, and that's why I should come back to life. Because once I reach Afar, now I'm ready for Chayeni. Now I'm ready to bounce back. That's what the prophecy says. That's the promise of Hashem. That it will be V'hoya Zaracha Kafar Aretz. It will come to pass that your seed will be Kafar Aretz. That's what Hashem told Yaakov Avinu. When you're going to be in the ground and everybody's stepping on you. Ah, at that moment, then comes Ufaratzta. Then comes this marvelous transformation. Then you're able to bounce forward and wonderful things are able to happen. So actually, this notion that the Medrash Tilim tells us here about Davkal Ofer Nafshenu, there's a Medrash in Shema Yisraba, which talks to us about the terrible degradation of Golos Mitzrayim. At a time when the Jewish babies were literally being thrown into the earth, being buried alive. Thrown into the river, buried alive. They were plowing over them. They were plowing over the children, and Hashem made a miracle, and they sank, and then, says the Medrash, says they would bounce out, and then they would come back home a few years later, and they were sustained by angels. That's a different Medrash, that's not for now. But in the middle of all that whole story, there's a Medrash that says like this, Sikusim nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYaakov. Hashem gives to Yaakov measures. Measures, what does it mean, measures? He says, this is how you can gauge things. So we have measures to know when to gauge. People have a barometer. I have to know when to put on a coat. Well, let me look how what's the temperature outside. I have to know when to turn the heat on or to turn the heat off. I have to know if my cake is going to burn, if my fish is going to get fried. I have to look at the measures. So what do you do when? Person says, oh, when the oven reaches 400, then uncover whatever it is in there. Okay, fine. Then it's going to work out okay. So here's the measures. That Hashem gave measures to Yaakov. And he said to him, Amar le, V'hoye zaracha kafar haaretz. And the Medrash interprets, ki shiagiyu zaracha ad afar haaretz. When your seed, when the Jewish people reach the lowest level, the lowest ebb, Eisei Shah, at that moment, Ufaratzta Yom HaVekeimah. That's when you're going to experience Ufaratzta. That's when the growth is going to unfold in the most marvelous and explosive fashion. And this is, the Medrash says, also connected to the words of Yeshayahu, Mikimi Me'afar Dol. So actually, from the Midrashic perspective, the words of David HaMelech of Dovker La'afar Nafshi are not the plaintive begging and pleading and bleeding of David HaMelech as he's laying on the ground and begging, please, the Medrash Leila, I'm almost finished, you gotta save me. But rather, David HaMelech knows to himself, Dovker La'afar Nafshi, I know with certainty, Kaimeni Kedvarecha. Like Radak says, Hashem made a promise. If Hashem makes a promise, it's coming true. And David HaMelech is looking at his thing and says, one thing bad, another, a third, a fourth. Now my son is pursuing me. It's not Pelishtim. It's not my father-in-law. It's my own son. It's Avshalom. This, it can't get more worse. Can't get lower. Now I'm on the ground, he says. When Avshalom's coming to kill me, and I'm running for my life, now I know something's going to have to turn around. And of course it does. And, you know, as they say, history is the rest of the story. So this is the notion the meaning, the power of Dovker La'afar Nafshi. That's the Sikusim. David HaMelech was simply relying on the prophecy that was given to Yaakov Avinu. And I think it's really interesting to note that Rashi, on this business of Ufaratz, the Yom of Akedma, so Rashi over there says that this is connected to the coming of Mashiach. We have this, the word Ufaratz here with regard to Yaakov Avinu is linked to the word Maparatzta Alecha Peretz, with the grandchildren of Yaakov, Yehuda's sons that he fathers through Tamar, that the second son who ends up being born first, his name is Peretz. And it says Maparatzta Alecha Peretz, how incredible you are. And we go on to say that this is the idea of Allah HaPeretz Lefnehem. Who is the Peretz, the one who is able to break out of any limitation, that this is referring to Mashiach. In other words, the only two times in the Torah, the word Ufaratzta means to break out, to powerfully just like explode with great force, in a good way, is here, the bracha to Yaakov, and the only other time in the Torah is when Peretz is born. Ma paratzta alecha Peretz. When Yaakov Avinu becomes very wealthy, and it says, Vayifreitza Ishmaid Maid, it's not the same etymology. Ibn Ezra creates a common etymology. According to Rashi, it's different etymology. Vayifreitza is, he didn't explode all over, he did very well. But we're talking about explosive growth. We're talking about powerful growth. We're talking about transcending any kind of limitation that's off the charts. So that off-the-charts kind of reality shows up twice. And the second time, it's talking about Yehuda. And not just talking about Yehuda, it's talking about the Davidic monarchy. And it's talking about Mashiach. And this is David HaMelech talking. So there's actually a much more powerful link than simply the bracha of Yaakov, you know, bracha to the Jewish people. This is a bracha specifically to David HaMelech, to David's future. And on that pasuk in Chumash Bereishis, in Parshas Vayetze, so the Rebbe suggests that in truth, it's all positive. And in order to develop his thesis, the Rebbe introduces the words of the Eruch Chaim. The Eruch Chaim says that when Yaakov Avinu left Be'er Sheva, it says, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, and he headed off to Haran. So he said, this is symbolic of the neshama that leaves the treasure trove of the souls and comes down to planet Earth. That it has to become meshed into a physical reality, that has to assume a corporeal existence. And the neshama is not very happy. The neshama feels this is a tremendous yirida. It's an enormous descent, actually, into the afar. Where does the body come from? Afar atav el afar tashuv. We are made of dust. So the neshama now is cleaving to dust. Literally, davka la'afar nafshi, that the afar, actually, my nefesh is stuck with afar. My soul is stuck in a physical body now. So the soul that's stuck in a physical body, this represents a tremendous yirida. That's the vayetze Yaakov. The vayakov is going out. So it doesn't mean you have to be bludgeoned or beaten or stepped on. It means that there's a descent by virtue of the fact that that Yaakov Avinu is going from Be'er Sheva, which represents the idea of the Shavua, the oath that the Neshama is administered before it's born, Tzadik, that it should be righteous. Which the idea of Shavua, if you take the little dot and move it to the right, which spells Shavua, Be'er Sheva, it also becomes Savua, which means sated or satiated. Because an oath gives us the strength, it empowers us. So Yaakov Avinu is leaving this place of empowerment, the place where he was raised and brought up by his parents, when he was given all of life's lessons, and he's going into Charon, which is called Charon Afshon Makom, the place that provokes God's anger and angst. It's the most immoral place on the face of earth at the time, the most dishonest. And Yaakov Avinu is going to a hostile environment, everything different than the way he was raised and brought up. And his job is to get married and to raise Jewish children there, to establish the foundation of a Jewish nation. You couldn't imagine a bigger descent. And yet, Yaakov feels like he's like Mamash Ad Ofer. And now he's penniless because the famous story that his Esav's son went and he mugged him and he doesn't have anything to, doesn't have a penny to his name, he has nothing. Yaakov doesn't know how he goes forward from here. And when he reaches that lowest madrega, he reaches rock bottom, that rock bottom representing the descent of the neshama, what's the purpose of it? Why go down? Why leave this place of perfection? The answer is Yirida Litzayrech Aliyah. You're going down in order to go higher. Like you pull the arrow back in order that it will be able to project forward. The runner who takes footsteps back in order to launch himself and jump forward. Like you invest money in a business, you lose money in order to make money. If you're not ready to lose money, you're not going to make any money. Every aliyah must be precipitated by a yirida. You have to be prepared first to step back, to lose. You say the ship that never leaves shore, it never sinks. It also doesn't go anywhere. So you have to be ready to take risks. And when you take risks, sometimes the risk means you have to get, you lose. And you invest all your capital. But this is for a great aliyah. So therefore, the matrix of Ahayah Zarachel could be read differently now, the Rebbe says. Don't just read it as when things are really bad for us and we're really down in the doldrums, lying in the dust, that we should know, don't give up hope, Hashem's going to take us out and we're going to bounce back. That really the matrix is, what's the reason that Ahayah Zarachel Farah, why is it that we need to leave our place of comfort? Why is it that we need to transcend the area where everything is perfect and go down? The answer is to be able to get to Faratza. There's no other way to get to Ufaratzta. Ufaratzta doesn't come for free. Ufaratzta comes when you're ready to be Zaracha Kafara Aretz. You're ready to go all the way down, dip deep. That's when you can launch forward. That's when you can jump really high. That's when you merit a bracha which is bilti mugbelas. That's when you merit a bracha which has no limitations. A bracha which is beyond imagination. And otherwise it wouldn't happen. And the Rebbe further suggested that this idea of Ahayah Zarachel Kafara Aretz doesn't mean physically, literal soil, necessarily. But every day in our davening, we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, Nafshi Ka'ofer LaKol Tia. We also say Nafshi. My soul should be Ka'ofer LaKol Tia. And the literal meaning is I should be extremely humble. Everybody should walk all over me. I couldn't care less. But this idea of humility allows us to become a receptacle, become a convention, an envelope to receive the greatest of blessings. So it's through David's humility, it's through David's self-abnegation, it's through David forgetting and forgoing his own interests and needs, and doing what has to be done, that David HaMelech can achieve, and in a sense, every one of us can achieve the greatest aliyah, the greatest kind of leap forward. So now you understand that Dovka Lafa Nafshi is not a curse over here, it's not just bad news. And also, I mean, there's two messages that come across here. Number one, when you're in the dust and things are bad and difficult, don't give up hope. It's going to be good. David HaMelech was there. Yaakov Avinu was there. That's the Jewish story. As they say in Yiddish, there's a Yiddishe Geschichte. That's the history of the Jewish people. That's the way it's always been. It's never been easy or straightforward for us. But we're still here. And we achieve. We don't just survive, we flourish. Number two, it's much more than just don't lose hope. This is actually the key to success. The less it's about you, the greater your success could be. Oftentimes you say that sometimes people are their own worst enemy. What inhibits you? You inhibit yourself. You're not ready to believe it. You're not ready to take the leap. That's why you're not growing. If you'd be ready to cut the ropes and jump with faith and commitment, and knowing what you can work out, then you could all of a sudden achieve great things. But if you're not ready to make that leap, if you're not ready to make that descent, it's not going to be able to go forward. And this is the deeper meaning that of Dovka Lafa Nafshi, David HaMelech is ready. And what does he seek? He seeks Chayeni Kedvarecha, that Hashem should give him life. And what is the life that David HaMelech seeks? Remember, we talked that the chapter 119 is really all about the concept of Torah. This is the chapter of Tehillim where David HaMelech yearns for knowledge of Torah. And what David HaMelech yearns for, Chayeni, to have life, as we go on to say, David HaMelech in verse 26 says, Drachai Siparti, my ways I have told. Now, this is the my ways. It's my matters, my issues. David HaMelech says, I told my matters, my issues, not Hashem's things, but Haneni, and you answered me. And then what happens? Lamdeni chukecha. Because, or when, I told you my matters and my issues, so that's why you should teach me your wisdom. Which doesn't really make any sense. Why should Hashem teach him? David HaMelech's like, I was nice to you, be nice to me. I talk to you, talk to me. Like, what does that mean? What does it mean when we say, when David HaMelech says, I related my matters to you, so now you come back and teach me your wisdom. All right. So let's take a look first in Rashi. Rashi says, when David HaMelech says the words Siparti, that he told, he related, what are we talking about here? What does a Jew have an obligation to say to Hashem, to verbalize to Hashem? There's something we have an obligation to verbalize. Shema Yisrael is what you're saying for yourself, actually. You need to accept upon yourself, Ol Malchus Shemayim. What do you need to say to Hashem? You need to say Shema Yisrael, but what do you need to say to Hashem? There is one time, one detail, one nuance, one dimension where a Jew is actually obligated to speak to God. You don't have to be Breslov to have to do this. This is, right, the Breslov I like to talk to God. But this is, that's cool. You know, teach his own. But there's a mitzvah we actually are supposed to speak to God. Which mitzvah is it? Nobody knows. Yeah, you do it. At least once a year you do it. At least. Almost. Yeah. What's the primary avodah of Yom Kippur? Tshuva. What is the actual mitzvah of tshuva? The mitzvah of tshuva is lehisvados, to confess. That's the mitzvah of tshuva. In fact, when the Rambam enumerates the mitzvahs, he says, when a person does tshuva, the mitzvah is he should confess, which leads some to think that the Rambam doesn't even hold tshuva as a mitzvah. And there's a whole discussion about this. Why wouldn't the Rambam consider tshuva a mitzvah? So some want to say that the Rambam considers mitzvah a general mitzvah. It's not one of the 613. Tshuva is somebody that accompanies a Jew all of his life. Tshuva ma'isim tevim. What's the specific mitzvah to verbalize? Tzemach Tzedek says otherwise. No, the Rambam does say, if you take a look, it's very confusing. But the Rambam, in the Koteret, when he begins the laws of tshuva in Mishnah Torah, he says, the mitzvah is lehisvadesh. But then later on, he says that it's a mitzvah to do tshuva. So how do we understand it? The way the Rebbe explained it, very simple. That every mitzvah has specific parameters. If somebody says to you, what is the mitzvah of matzah? And you say to him, matzah? Matzah is this incredible opportunity to fortify our faith. And matzah is a demonstration. We use it to show. We say to the children, this is the matzah. Archaeology? What do I need archaeology for? We haven't missed a year. I heard from my parents all the years I was a child. And I'm telling my children all the years I'm able to. And their parents told their parents. And their parents told their parents. We have an unbroken chain that goes back 3,329 years telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. And if you would tell a story, one day, all of a sudden everybody said, okay kids, here's the story. Who told you the story? Shh, don't ask questions. From now on, this is the story that we have to tell. Who would believe that? So when somebody comes along and creates a faith system or a religion and tells everybody, if you don't buy into this, we're going to chop your head off. People say, okay, I'm trying to keep my head on my shoulders. Fine, I'll worship whoever you want, which is how many other faith systems developed. So there's no unbroken chain. There's no time when the family had to get together. You had to come to a house of worship, and this minister or preacher or man of the cloth or whatever it is would yell and scream at you, and you have to say, okay, whatever you say, I'm finished. No. In Yiddishkeit, the most important night of the year is not Kol Nidre, the most important night of the year, and by the way, the most observed Jewish night of the year until today is the Seder night. It's not the synagogue, it's the home. And what happens in the home? In the home, the parents tell the children. And that's been going on unbroken. It's much more powerful than archaeology. Archaeology, I find a fragment of something and try to imagine, this is one fragment of 10,000 pieces. Let's imagine what the other 9,999 pieces would look like. This is real. We always had this bread. This is the bread. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 1500 years ago, 3000 years ago. So if anybody would give you an answer like that, that this is matzah, could you say it's a wrong answer? It's not a wrong answer. The Gezora says matzah nourishes your faith. The matter of fact is the matzah is part of the show and tell of the Seder night. Long before people created this idea of visuals and sensories and touching and tasting and feeling, this is only like 50, 60 years old. You know, there's Howard Gardner and his 8 keys. We did this already for teaching children for 3,300 years. At the Seder night, you have to tell. That's words. You have to sing. That's music. You have to show the matzah. You have to taste. There's a murder. People have a minute to dress up, drama. Everything, every detail they talk about in education today, we've been doing it for thousands of years. So if somebody tells you that that's matzah, you can't say that's a wrong answer. But then somebody will say, okay, give me the cut and dry technical definition. So what is the mitzvah? Ah, the mitzvah. The mitzvah is you should eat a kezias of matzah, which is 1 ounce of matzah, and you should eat it within a certain amount of time. Let's say, for argument's sake, within 9 minutes, or ideally within 6 minutes, eat a kezias of matzah without making any interruptions, and it's got to be somewhere from nightfall to midnight, ideally, or at least before the day breaks. That's the mitzvah. Is that correct? Yeah. That's like the definition on your license. 6 foot tall, 190 pounds, brown eyes. That's not wrong. That's a definition. Is that who a person is? A person is boiled down to Caucasian, male or female, height and weight? That's who you are? No, but that's your technical definition. So everything has a technical definition. And on the person's license, they don't write what you do for a living. They don't write if you're married or single. They don't write if you're a grandparent or if you have children. They write the very simple way to identify you. They don't put your blood type because nobody's giving you a blood test and they pull you over. But they could say, okay, the guy says you're 6 feet, please get out of your car. Get out of your car, 1 second. Are you sure this is your license? Because your license says you're 6 feet and you're only about 4'9" over here. Well, I used to be 6 feet. I stepped into the blender last night. That's not going to work, right? Take the most technical elements and that's how we identify. So when we talk about a mitzvah, mitzvahs also have to be identified in the most literal way. There's many books written. On one mitzvah, you could have 20 books written. And it's all true and it's all Torah. But on a technical definition, what is the actual mitzvah? What's the actual definition? Depends on the mitzvah. The mitzvah of shofar, to hear a ram, or any kind of horn actually, blown in a certain way, at a certain time. Is the shofar a wake-up call? Yes. Does the shofar show it's bent and we should bend it? Yes. It's all true. Is it true that there's a coronation of the king and that's what the shofar? Yes, that's true also. Is it true that the Akedas Yitzchak and those? Yes. What is the mitzvah though? The mitzvah is to sound the shofar in a certain way at a certain time for a certain amount of time. Okay. So the mitzvah of tshuva, what is tshuva? Tshuva is to yearn for Hashem, and tshuva is to regret what happened, and tshuva is to promise Hashem you're going to be different. And there's a whole range of human emotion. And everybody could experience tshuva differently. And the more intense is your avodas Hashem, the more profound your tshuva is. But here is what everybody must do. The technicality of tshuva. We're going to call not the soul of tshuva, but the body of tshuva. What's the body of tshuva? Verbalize. Not to another person. We don't believe that. What's the point? I sin against Hashem and I tell another person. How does that help? A person is God. That notion is ridiculous for us. We don't buy into that. Who should I speak to? I should speak to God. Now, could you imagine what would happen? Everybody would stand with a siddur on Yom Kippur. And then we say, okay, now it's tshuva time. Everybody puts the maksa down and everybody starts talking. You'd be so busy listening to what your neighbor is saying. Ooh, they did what? Oh, look at me. I'm really in good shape. I can't believe what the person sitting next to me. People would actually click. Where do you want to sit? Put me next to big sinners. I want to hear interesting stuff on Yom Kippur. Right? So what do? We use an actual formula. The Al-Chet formula. We have 2 letters for every letter of the Aleph Beis. You got 48 different kind of Al-Chets. The Halacha says if you did some kind of very fantastic, colorful sin, and it's not somehow doesn't fit into one of those 48, you have to verbalize it. You don't have to get up on your chair and say it out loud. You say it to Hashem. But you have to verbalize. Excellent question. Of course he knows your thoughts anyway. But the mitzvah is you should verbalize. That's the mitzvah. Just like some mitzvahs are mitzvahs you should eat. And some mitzvah mitzvah you should wear. And some mitzvah mitzvah you should do. There's a mitzvah you have to say. Time ha-mitzvahs. Why does Hashem need me to say if he knows anyway? Excellent question. For a different class on a different day that we'll talk about tshuva. But what I want to establish over here is that David HaMelech says, when I telling God, I don't tell God stories. God, you know what I had for breakfast today? Of course he knows he's God. What do you tell him for? What do you have to tell him? You have to tell me Avedus. That's what Rashi says. Siparti. What did David HaMelech say? Siparti locha es tzrochai. I told you my needs, by the way, which is, I should be correct myself. There is only one other mitzvah you're supposed to verbalize. According to the Rambam, it's actual mitzvah min ha-Torah, all the time. According to the Ramban, it's only when you have tzaras, but you're supposed to verbalize, you have needs, you're supposed to actually verbalize your prayers. But it doesn't say verbalize, it doesn't say it. The mitzvah of prayer is about kavanah, it's about, you know, if a person prays in his mind, it's also prayer. And this idea of hegi libi lefanecha. You know, if a person, certain parts of davening, you're not able to answer the amen or kedusha, at least you say it in your heart. Prayer, the Rebbe once said, atachtam vegen meibish terzecha prayer. It was even to think about Hashem as a prayer. He used those exact words. He was talking about a person who had a Yiddishkeit experience, and there was a Gentile who watched and asked a question. And the Rebbe said, "See, er hat gedavent nicht weisig nicht. Whether the Gentile davened after he heard that the Jew has the guts to put on film, weisig nicht. Aber er hat sicher atrachtet am wegen dem Meibischen. He thought about God. And the Rebbe finished with the words, "Und atrachtet wegen dem Meibischen is echa prayer." So prayer is not something that necessarily has to be verbalized, even though ideally prayer should be verbalized, and we do verbalize our davening, and we're actually supposed to say all the words. Not to think you turn the pages or say every third word, you're actually supposed to say all the words in davening with feeling and fervor. But here is the mitzvah that you must verbalize. If you don't verbalize, you didn't do it, and that's the mitzvah of tshuva. So David HaMelech says, drachai, it's my ways. If it's mitzvahs, whose ways is it? It's Hashem's ways. It's drachecha. It's your ways. What's drachai? My ways. My ways aren't always so straight. I mean, my ways, your ways, our ways. Our ways are the mishigasim that we want, that come from our own lazy, snarling, angry, frustrated, egotistical, sensual libido seeking, whatever it is, whatever reason we do things we shouldn't do, that's our own shtick. So David HaMelech says, drachai, my ways, which means, tzrachai, my needs, ves chataisai, my sins, I said it. I wasn't ashamed. I acknowledged. I admitted. I stood before God. I said, "Yes, Rabbeinu Shalom, Almighty God, I did this and this." Chatasi. I'm not saying it with pride. I'm not singing about it. I'm saying it with shame. I did this. And David HaMelech was imperfect, and he acknowledged his imperfections, and he acknowledged his sins before Hashem. And what happened? V'taneni. He's answered. Hashem forgives David HaMelech. V'ata inisani, Rashi says. So this is the way Rashi explains the words of Drachai Siparti. Now, once you understand the words of Drachai Siparti in that sense, that this is the idea of Vidui, and that Hashem has answered, so what does David HaMelech say now? So if I came to you, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and I acknowledge all of my sins, I did what I'm supposed to do, or as the Mitzudas David puts it, he says, the things that I had to tell you, I had to ask, I had to tell you, and you answered me. Oh, so if you answered me, and I did what I had to do, no. In that case, forget Mitzudas for a second, not the Mitzudas, but this is found in, once again, in Medrash Tilim, it's also Medrash Shechetev. This would be like, seems to me like the Rashi is based on that Medrash. So the Medrash finishes off in saying like this, V'afal pi shechatasi, I sinned, I did things which are wrong, hisvadati loch, I acknowledged. I admit it. Lachach, therefore, since I do what you asked of me, Rabbeinu Shalom says you do a sin, acknowledge it, ask for forgiveness, confess, I did. So therefore, lachach, lamdeni chukecha. Now I ask you to teach me your statutes. Now I ask you to teach me your chukim. Now this is one approach to the idea of what Hashem told and why David HaMelech expects to get answered. And it would seem to me this is a very, very powerful concept, actually. This is very, very powerful. What is David HaMelech saying? He's saying, I did tshuva. When a person does tshuva, when a person, which is not mutually exclusive of the previous verse, because the dovkal offer nafshi, the bittul, the person's humility, where he feels down on the ground, where he acknowledges, yes, I'm short, I fell, I tripped, I'm on the ground. And you acknowledge that. And you do tshuva. So from there, we expect great things to happen. That's what Hashem promises us. The other mefarshim, they don't talk about this idea of the sins necessarily. If you take a look, in Radak, he says that when I had issues, I asked you to help me. So let's say the Sepharno and the Radak explain that when David HaMelech was at a place called Kitziklag, that there was a disaster, a military debacle. The women and children were taken captive, and David HaMelech didn't know what to do. Should he try to ransom them? Should he counterattack? He didn't know what to do. So David HaMelech asks Hashem through the Urim V'Tumim. That's what the Melech Yisrael is able to do. The Kohen Gadol, he asks Hashem what to do, and gets a very clear answer. Attack. Go for it. So he follows, he goes through, he attacks, and he wins. He's victorious. And there was a number of times, actually, during David HaMelech's career, military careers, that he didn't know what to do. He was at loss. He says, I always look to you, Rebbe Shlomo. I said, okay, what do I do now? And you always answered me. So Radak says, you always answered me up until now. Therefore, so now answer me one more thing. You always answer me everything else. Here's the last thing I'm asking you now. Now I'm asking you to teach me the Torah. Now I'm asking you to landeini chukecha, which chukecha are statutes, those are the mitzvahs, the chukim, that we don't know the reasons for. That's the mitzvahs that are super rational. Sheim nistarim, says Radak. Lo yavinam, elochachem. Only the wisest of the wise can understand. And you, Hashem, he says, please teach me. Titen li leiv mevinas asedis be'emes. Teach me, show me to see the true wisdom. The really profound messages that's beyond the chok, which seems to be irrational, super rational, impossible to understand. But we know that Shlomo HaMelech understood all the chukim except one. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood even the paraduma. So David HaMelech is asking for the wisdom to be able to understand the deeper secrets of the Torah. And the Mitzvah of David kind of goes along the same path. He says that every time there was a problem, I wasn't self-reliant. I went ahead. I asked. It says, Vayishal David. The whole chapter, the fifth chapter of Shmuel Beis, second half of it, is all about this thing of David HaMelech asking, what do I do now? Vataneini says, Mitzvah David, Anisali, you answer my questions. Lochain, therefore, Eshoel Gamzeis, now I'm asking you, Talmideini Chochmes HaTeira, teach me the wisdom of Teira. Vaaneini Gam Ato, Lemaleis Mishaleisai. You answer me other questions? Answer this one too. It's maybe similar to this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu, when did he ask Hashem, Harini Nosk Vedecha, show me your glory? When Hashem said, I'm not forgiving the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, no, I'm not leaving until you forgive the Jewish people. And he stood and he argued. Hashem said, I'm not going with them. And Moshe said, no, we don't accept that. And it's really everything Hashem says yes. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, Ibazei, it's all going so well. He's saying yes. Harini Nosk Vedecha, show me your glory. And the Rabbeinu Shalom told Moshe, that's it, till now. You're on a winning streak, but this is now it's too much. This already you can know. A person cannot know this and then keep on living, but I want you to live. Life can only make sense without the full understanding and awareness of this knowledge. He gives Moshe more than anybody else ever got, but that's all even Moshe Rabbeinu could receive at the time. So this is, according to the Dak, it seems to me a similar kind of, pardon me, Mitzvah said the Dak, that it's like, you answered me, I asked every time, you always answered. So David HaMelech says, so now I'm asking for Teira. Now I'm asking you to teach me your secrets. Which now naturally takes us into the next verse. So David HaMelech, Lamdeni Chukecha. So verse 27 is, Derech Pikudecha Havineni. The ways of your instructions make me understand them. What will happen when you'll make me understand them? What will happen? Make me understand them. Then I will speak of your wonders. Speak of your wonders. What are we talking about over here? So the Mitzvot Zdava tells us, what is Derech Pikudecha? The ways, the way of your Pikudim? He means Mistere HaMitzvahs V'Yikarim. The mystery, the hidden part of the mitzvahs, the real foundation, the kishka, the essence, the quiddity of the mitzvah. That's what I want to know. I want to know what's the primary overriding principle. And then, so why should Hashem tell to David HaMelech? This is gevaldik. V'asicha, I'll talk about it. No, asicha means I'll speak aloud. V'adaber ed lezulasi, I'll teach others. L'lamed, b'dvarim anifloyim v'amechusim shebehem. as much knowledge as you have, that's where you can teach somebody else. If David HaMelech has risen, is raised to a higher knowledge of Torah, then he can give more knowledge of Torah. David HaMelech says, raise my knowledge of Torah so that I could share more knowledge of Torah. Obviously, David HaMelech is not going to be able to explain things exactly as David HaMelech understands them, but David HaMelech is able to, the more David HaMelech has, the more profound his teachings become. And we think of David HaMelech as a great warrior. We think of him as the great poet and the great singer. And he was all those things. But the truth is that David HaMelech is also a great Navi, and most importantly, is a great teacher of Torah. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. Not every Melech was the head of the Sanhedrin. David HaMelech was teaching Torah. He was paskening halachas. It says, Hashem Yimei Halacha Kameisei, that refers to David HaMelech. He was involved in the technicalities of adjudicating Jewish law in a ritual way and in all different areas. So David HaMelech is saying, please, Derech Pikudech Avineini, once I become aware of your secrets, once I know the deeper, the depths of your Torah, then I'll be able to teach others about it. And that's actually a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu should teach him. Like there's a Medrash Tillim says, David HaMelech said, Al Taimer Li Harehim Lefanecha. Don't tell me, please. Here's your Torah. Torah, I gave it to you. Leva Shemayim, you know. Here's the Torah. His baina in atal asmacha. Figure it out. David HaMelech said, please don't tell me. Imein atam evineini. If you're not going to help me understand him, you're not going to make me understand him. Eni der klum. So I'm not going to know anything. I'm in the dark. And therefore, David HaMelech says, Havineini. Havineini. Make me understand it. Once Havineini, then Ve'asicha. Then I can talk in your Torah. Then I can discuss. Then I can learn. Then I can teach. But first, Havineini, first David HaMelech, his humility understands, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to teach me, then how will I be able to know this? And it's such an amazing thing here. Because David HaMelech feels almost like he has an entitlement. You have to teach me. Why? Why? You have enough to learn. Keep yourself busy. David HaMelech says, no, b'vasicha. The most important thing is to teach somebody else. And that's like, as if you want to use a crude language, like the bribe that you give Hashem. Give me, so I can give somebody else. The selflessness is the way to achieve the ultimate perfection, even of oneself. How does David HaMelech gain himself? Because he's devoted to others. Which dovetails back into the original point of the Dov Kolav for Nafshi, of Dov's incredible humility. He feels himself, he's down on the floor. And he knows that because he's reached a level of humility, of nafshi ka'ofel akoltia, that's why chayeni kedvarecha. That's why he says, because I was humble, because I acknowledged my sins, because I wasn't high and mighty before Hashem, before I was misvada. That's the reason that landeni chukecha. Dere pichudecha avineini. Why? Vasicha v'nefloi secha. So David HaMelech's humility ultimately translates into public service. Starts with humility. Dov kol afer. I'm on the ground. I don't hold anything back. I did all my sins. I acknowledge all my wrongdoings. And now teach me, because it's not about me at all. Because v'asicha v'nefloi secha. And David HaMelech finishes with this sense of almost embittered humility. He says, Dofa nafshi mituga. Docha nafshi mituga is a very powerful word. He says, my soul is dripping away. It's like melting, some of the Mefarshim say. Rashi says, necheseres vayleches. It's slowly crumbling. It's slowly melting. The Mitzudasin says, mituga means, like he says, Bedolfa, he says, is hatofa, like a delaf, like a drip, 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 slowly, slowly but surely. Mituga is lashi yogin, from agony, from pain. So Miroif Tuga says Mitzudas David, from so much pain. Nomas Nafshi, my soul is melting. I feel it's like drip by drip by drip, I'm all melting. It's a melitza, he says. It's a euphemism. It's not to be taken literally. I feel like my kishkas are coming out, he says. And therefore, because I feel this way, Kaimeni Kedvarecha, you Rabbeinu Shalom, sustain me. It's not about me at all. Sustain me, please. David HaMelech doesn't stand before Hashem with a sense of might, with a sense of self-reliance. He is the most humble of people, the most broken of spirits. It's so funny how you think of David HaMelech, little children think of him as the knight in shining armor, the warrior, the fearless David. But actually, the fearless David, it was all a facade. David HaMelech was the most humblest of people, most broken of people, the most contrite of people, yearning, crying, begging, pleading to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that he had issues. He didn't. You know, there's a big difference between not having self-confidence, a person who's afraid to do anything, or a person who is extremely humble. He had healthy self-confidence. It wasn't that he didn't have issues. He didn't have to see a shrink to deal with his issues. They're afraid of his shadow. But he's a person, David HaMelech was acutely aware of his shortcomings. And he was so humble because of it. And therefore, he wasn't saying, oh, I can do this, you know, no problem. Leave it to me. He said, I leave it to the Ben Shalom. It's all in Hashem's hands. And because David HaMelech showed us that way, that's Chaimeni Kedverecha. So the Radak says, this Chaimeni Kedverecha is talking about the Malchusi. You promised my kingdom will last. It's not just about me. You promised the future, and ultimately this leads us to Mashiach. And the Ibn Ezra says, you said, Machatzti Vani Erpa. You said, I'll strike, but I heal. No, I'm there. My kishkas are ripped apart. I'm melting. No, Rebbeinu Shlom. Ani Erpa. You have to step in. The Medrash Tehillim says, about Dov and Ashim Yituga, it says, David HaMelech said, Min HaShvarim Shabar Lai, from the painful and difficult, challenging circumstances that came. Ein shana she'ein b'shever. I didn't have a year of my life where I didn't have some kind of catastrophe, some kind of meltdown or disaster. Ein chayde she'ein b'shmua. There wasn't a single month where there wasn't some kind of rumor out there and some issues that people were talking about. Ein yeim she'ein b'tzara. I didn't have a quiet day. I didn't have a quiet day. So he says, and therefore, l'fichach docha nafshi mituga. I'm melting. I'm literally falling apart under the weight of all this. So therefore, you promised. The Medrash says this refers to the words Hashem told Moshe, "L'man hakem meisam hayom leila om," that you should make me for your nation. So therefore, I'm asking you that I should become your nation. Now, in my humble opinion, it seems to me that all these four verses are one continuum. This is all about humility. This is all about the coming Nafshi Ka'afar. It's all about being in the ground. It's all about David HaMelech getting past himself. Most of us never get past ourselves. We're totally intoxicated with ourselves. We can't get over ourselves. People say, just get over yourself. David HaMelech got over himself entirely, transcended himself entirely. By the way, he's in a position where almost nobody in history ever got over himself because he had absolute power. And if power corrupts, absolute power, famously, corrupts absolutely. And David HaMelech was not corrupted in the least bit. That despite the fact that he made mistakes and he had shortcomings in early on in his life, David HaMelech did true of everything. And he was a person who was, it says, Libi, Cholol, Bekirbi, his heart was hollow, like the Rebbe says in Tanya, he didn't even have a Yetzirah anymore. Ki'aragi betainus, it says. Chazal say he destroyed his Yetzirah, he was a true tzaddik. And David HaMelech in his tzidkus reaches the lowest level of what one would call despair, and yet never loses hope. Why? Because his hope was never about him. His hope was always about the Rebbeinu Shlil. It was always that he always looked to Hashem. And of course, this idea, what was he looking for? For more Torah. He was looking for more gold, not more silver. He was for more fame, for more power, for more Torah. Why? So they should be able to teach somebody else. So this gives us an incredible glimpse into the persona, the profile of David HaMelech. And also gives us a good jolt into how we are supposed to look at life when things don't go well for us. Whether it's nationally as a people, whether it's us as individuals, whether we face challenges, that you never lose hope. It says, Kaveh Lashem. You always hope for the Eibishter. Kaveh, and then the Amitz Libecha. Then you become stronger. The Kaveh Lashem, and then you go back to hoping to Hashem more. And you know that in the most difficult of circumstances, and sometimes precisely because of the difficulty of the circumstances, that the greatest of brachas of Ufaratzta will emerge Hashem be upon us. You know, this is the year of Ufaratzta. 577 was Paratzta. That was 5776. Ooh, is Avav. Year of Ufaratzta. We got a lot of troubles. A lot of things going wrong this year for the Jewish people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that we should experience the greatest of brachas with the coming of Mashiach. Allah HaPeres Lefneim. V'mheira u'bi'ameinu. Amen.